All right, take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. First of all, it's just a blessing to be at Hope. I don't know what you think about this church, but I know what I think. I just remember, like, I was just thinking 20-something years ago, I prayed and asked God to send somebody to me that believed the book, and he sent somebody from Hope Baptist Church. If you don't go to this church, he didn't send nobody from your church. He sent somebody from this church. I'm never going to apologize about that. So many people got these ideas that you need to be trained up, raised up where we at, or how we was done, how we did it. It's foolishness. It's just foolish. All right, I think I got my notes together. All right, if we don't, it's all right. It's on the wrong side. All right, Matthew chapter 17. Talk about Jesus Christ, because that's the only person we need to talk about. But what I want to talk to you about is being in a good place. Have you heard all this preaching all week long? You've been here. You've come to the altar. You spent time with God. I believe the hope that we're in a crowd where after you got some from the book, you went and prayed and talked to God and got some. You read your Bible and God confirmed some things so far, because it's Friday. Right here in Matthew chapter 17, the Bible says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John and his brother and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. After 6 days, well, after he told them, after he told Peter and James, like, listen, some of you are not going to die. Some of you are not going to die before some of you are not going to see me die. Some of you are not going to die. You're just going to go straight to glory. After he had been healing and showed them so many miracles, after he fed the 4,000, after he did that, 6 days later, he gave them some time for it to soak in for them. He gave them some time for this thing to soak in. The Bible says, and after 6 days, Jesus take a Peter, James, and John, and his brethren, and bring them up into a high mountain apart. He took Peter, James, and John, the first ones. They was fishermen. They was in the fish. He said, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You think you have a job. You think you have an occupation. You think you have a livelihood. I'm going to give you real life. I'm going to help you give other folk real life. The Bible says they just stopped what they was doing and left. What does that say about, when Jesus Christ tell you to do something, do you stop what you're doing and just do it? Or do you do like when I was, something's wrong with you kids out here. Parents calling you, like, mom, you acting like something's wrong with you. Your parents is embarrassing. Your parents can't embarrass you. I'm sorry if I don't be nice and the etiquette, talk sugar in my mouth like you want me to do. I don't do that. You're not that important that you could be embarrassed. You have nothing to be embarrassed about. You don't have nothing. Everything you got from your parents. And if your parents got you here at this church, they're doing a good job. But when Jesus Christ tells you to do something, do you stop and just do what he tells you to do? I don't tell Brother Rudolph, because Brother Rudolph can't help you. The Bible says, and he took them into a high mountain apart. It speaks to discipleship, personal, spending time with your preacher, with your pastor, with the person that led you to the Lord, and especially with Jesus Christ. How's your personal time with Jesus Christ? Do you got other guys that can hold you accountable, that you respect, or do you not respect anybody? The Bible says, and he took them to a high mountain apart and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt let us, make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of heaven, a voice out of the cloud, that which said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. The voice out of heaven says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear you him. Who are you hearing today? The Bible says, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just like to thank you and praise you for all that you're doing for us in us and through us. And we pray you bless this time. Lord, I pray you'd help me to decrease, that you might increase, that you might get the glory. Empty me of myself, empty me of sin, fill me with your spirit. And I pray these folk get something from heaven and not from Anthony Rudolph. And that you might be glorified, that these folk may get closer to you, and that they might go on to do something great and mighty. In your name, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 17, it says after 6 days, verse 2, it said that he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. In Mark chapter 9, the Bible says Jesus Christ taketh them up and leadeth them. And Matthew, it says he taketh them up and bringeth them. Some folk, Jesus Christ have to bring along. Some folk at the point where God just ain't bringing them along. They're being led. Where you at? You being led by God or God just bringing you along? Now, it don't matter which one you're at. It just long as you realize it. But there should be some graduation in this thing. You shouldn't be getting dragged to church. If you come to church, you know how people say, I went to church looking for a girl. I went to church looking for a wife or husband or whatever you look. At some point in time, you should be getting dragged to church. At some point in time, it should graduate to a leading to church. And then the next time, you should be graduating to you bringing somebody and leading somebody. That's where you should be at. If you've been in church 20 years, at some point in time, you should have led somebody to the Lord. At some point in time, you should have led somebody to the Lord. I'm going to say it again. At some point in time, you should have led somebody to the Lord. Somebody should have just fell on your head and said, could you lead me tell me how to get saved? Some point in time, somebody should have told you. Somebody should have did something. You should be, if you've been saved 20 years, you should have led somebody to the Lord. You come to church 20 years, you should have led somebody to the Lord. Even if you did it by mistake. That count? That count? They ain't sitting up in heaven like, well, that wasn't a true spark. I'm always talking about spark something in heaven. That wasn't a true spark. Anytime eternal life happens, that comes from the fire from heaven. That starts off fire from heaven. The Bible says he take Peter, James, and John and he bringeth them. He taketh and bringeth them. Hey, listen, we're going up this mountain. Notice the other 12 wasn't there. The rest of the 12 wasn't there. It was just Peter, James, and John. At some point in time, you shouldn't be just the inner 12. At some point in time, you should be a part of the inner 3 or the part of 1. At some point in time in this thing, you should be graduating. You should be, it should be a progression. But you know, some things start happening. Peter, James, and John is there. And things begin to happen. And Peter, you know, he opens his mouth. And you know what? You would do it too. If you've been in the midst of God and you've been close to God and something great and miraculous happened in your mouth right in front of your face, you're going to open your mouth and just say something. I got to be a part of this. They need to know I was here. Instead of saying, I probably just should be quiet and watch this thing. The Bible says, as they was there, Jesus Christ's face did shine as the sun. Now, that's the Bible. That's what it says in heaven. There'll be no sun, moon, or stars in heaven, and Jesus Christ will be the light of it all. And Mark, it says, his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow. Not only did Jesus Christ's face shine as the sun, his clothes, what you're going to be clothing in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, did shine. Exceedingly. How's your righteousness today? Are you clean? You've been all this preaching all this week. If you're being rebellious, if you fighting you Titan, I don't let nobody tell me nothing. Who's this preacher? He can't show me nothing. I'm smarter than him. I should be the one preaching. I shouldn't be preaching either. I ain't no better than nobody. I'm just somebody God called to do what God told me to do. And Brother King, I like that. God's hammer is big enough for you. I already made some notes for that. God just used his hammer on me. And I got about 50 lumps, and I was like, I just drag. Okay, God. That's it. I'm not no better than nobody else. I'm not nobody special. I submit. He know I'm coming to him. You could do 100 times better than me. Now, I was here. I had the third and fourth grade boys. I love these boys in here. I love all of them. I want to see them do something. They don't have to go to jail to get right with God. They don't have to. You don't have to dirty yourself up to do something for God. You don't have to go to the world. I don't care what they put on Facebook. I don't care what they put on social media. They don't got your best interest at heart. I ain't cool enough to wear no skinny jeans. That ain't cool to me. I want you to look like a grown man. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I don't care what they're doing. But the Bible says Jesus, he take them up, he bring them up, he leadeth them, and he brings them, they see his glory. Are you in a good place today? Peter said, it's good for us to be here. Now, he misconstrued that thing, but I would say that he was in a good place. That's what I would say. Peter's like, he ain't on a boat no more. He ain't out there in the sea. He with Jesus. And when Jesus say they start walking up the mountain, they walking up the mountain. You know, I don't know what you think, but I ain't interested in backpacking, going up no mountain or nothing. I ain't interested in it at all. I went out to Washington State and I said, man, those mountains is large. Those mountains, it was big. And the brother's like, Brother Rudolph, those are hills. I said, what? They're mountains to me, buddy. And I told him, I said, that's a place where no black man has gone before. He did the same thing y'all doing. He started laughing. He thought it was funny. It's cultural, buddy. It's cultural. Brother Rogers, I don't know who told you we ain't supposed to like sweet potatoes, but they messed you up, baby. They should put those things in the pot. Put some brown sugar on that thing. Stir that thing up. You would like it, dear. But the Bible says his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light, and his shade, his raiment was exceeding white in one place. Salt is speaking to your righteousness. Where's your righteousness today, folk? Before you came in here, you should have been praying and asking that you get something from God. Before you got up this morning, when you got up this morning, you should have, God, help me be clean while it snows, so I might receive that which you would have me receive on good ground. Good ground. Are you in a good place today? Before you can get to the foot of the mountain, you got to spend some time with Jesus, walking with Jesus, and learning these lessons, watching to feed the 4,000. Watching everybody, they looking around like, where are we going to get this food from? Jesus sitting up home. Jesus like, no, y'all sit down. Let me show you something. And the Bible says while he was up on the mountain, Moses and Elijah comes and they're talking with Jesus. They're not talking with Peter and James and John. They're talking with Jesus. The main attraction is Jesus Christ. You're not the main attraction. When you get married, the main attraction is Jesus Christ. When you live your life, when you have your kids, the main attraction is Jesus Christ. It's not you. It's not your social, economic background. I don't care what kind of job you have. I don't care what kind of upbringing you had. I don't care what kind of church you go to. It's not because you got good doctrine and you know the book. It's Jesus Christ. He's the main attraction. And for you to figure out he's the main attraction, you have to get over yourself. You're not all that you think you are. No, matter of fact, you are what you think you are. Brother Heaton says, as soon as something bad happens, he's like, oh, what did I do wrong? That's who you are. That's where you're at. That'll humble you. But Peter, he might have opened his mouth and he might have said some things that we don't think should be right. But the Bible says, he said, Master, it is good for us to be here. In other and Mark and Congress, he says, Lord, it is good for us to be here. He knew who Jesus Christ was. He was his master and he was his Lord. And he knew that it was good to be around him. He might have thought it might have been good for him because he was there. But it was around. He had it right some kind of way. He just turned around. You know, we like to say, well, his heart was in the right place and the words were mixed up. We'll accept that. We'll take that. Are you in a good place? If you're in a good place is where his glory can be seen. If you're in a good place, God's glory can be seen in your life. God's glory can be seen all around you. If you're in a good place, God's glory can be seen. Now, you're in church. The glory of God's here. You might don't know what it is. You might not experience it before. Just take my word for it. It's here. They don't do our teen altar calls unless God's there. Not where I'm from. God's got to be there for that to happen. So you're definitely in a good place. The glory of God can be seen here. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. You see, you can walk outside and say, man, God is magnificent. Well, how did I get that word? When am I trying to say magnificent? Magnificent. Excuse me. He was just talking about Lazarus. Just talking about Lazarus and his sisters. You know, they said, Lord, if you had been here, he had not to die. You know what they knew something about Jesus? Every time we've been around you, Jesus, and nobody's died. Nobody's sick. If they're sick, they get healed. Something miraculous happened. Something glorious happened when Jesus Christ is around. You know, Christians, that should be the best picture some folks might see of Jesus Christ. That's what should happen when you're around. That's how they should feel at your job. Oh, yeah, he got it. He got the hyperglow, man. I'm telling you, I don't know how to explain it, but he got the hyperglow because they don't know Bible words. So they should get to say something. They should know you have something. The Bible in John chapter 11, verse 4, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. When you're in a good place, the glory of God can be seen. Can the glory of God be seen in your life? Can the glory of God be seen in your relationship with your kids? Can it be seen? Can your teen friends see it? When they come around you, do they expect you to tell them the truth? When they cut them around you, do they expect you to hold them to a standard of righteousness? What kind of friends you got? The ones that love God or the ones that hate God? Is the glory of God? Are you in a good place? Can the glory of God be seen in your life? God's glory is going to be seen in your life. Listen, you can't imagine what it would be like being up on the mountain with Jesus Christ and then Elijah and Moses and Elijah pop up, and you are a Jew, and there you've been reading this Old Testament all your life, and you see, man, this is Moses and Elijah. I always wondered, like, how did they know it was Moses and Elijah? That's for another time. But the Bible says they knew it was Moses and Elijah. They didn't have no, it wasn't no question to them about it was Moses and Elijah. Now think about this thing. What if you appeared on a Mount of Transfiguration? What Peter said, hey, oh, who, God, who is these dudes? Or would it have been like Satan sitting behind watching the thing like, man, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who is this? Folk, are you in a good place? If, listen, if you had to be on the Mount of Transfiguration, would it be known? Oh, he's a soul winner. Listen, wherever he went, he served the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never seen him do anything wrong. He's always ministered to me. He's always been gracious to me. He's always loved me. He's always been a blessing to me. Would that be known? Shelby back. So, Shelby, if I do anything wrong, you know it's your fault. That's what we do at our church. That's what we do. We don't take ourselves too serious. If anything goes wrong with singing anything, it's Shelby's fault. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. Numbers chapter 19, verse 14, verse 22. But all these men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened. The Bible says he showed all these miracles in the wilderness. In the wilderness. And in Egypt. If you're going to see the glory of God, you ain't always going to be in a nice place like this with the cool breeze and the padded seats. I have to go out into the wilderness. When the Bible says, when the Holy Spirit led Jesus, Jesus was filled and Jesus was driven into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. You heard what I said. Three different accounts. One, he was led. One, he was driven. And one, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And then he was tempted of the devil. He led him into the wilderness. Not no grandiose place, nice and comfortable, and the setting just right for you to be able to overcome the temptation. One thing I learned about planting a church is all the stuff we learn in Bible Institute here doesn't happen one at a time. And stuff that you don't know, that they ain't taught you, they can't teach you. I said it all the time. I said, Pastor Todd, what do you do with this? What do you do with this? Brother Lonnie, what do you do with this? I can't explain to you, Brother Rudolph. You just got to go through it. And then say to you, welcome to the ministry. I don't appreciate that. It's funny to y'all. I don't like it. You can't comfort me about that. Pastor John, try to comfort me about it. You can't comfort me about that. Welcome to the ministry. No, I need answers now. But like Brother Heaton said, you're not getting the answers now. Like my mom would say, deal with it. That's what she said. If you're in a good place, not only could his glory be seen, but his greatness will be exalted. The Bible says, while Peter yet spake, the Bible says, a voice from heaven said, voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. You know, you know what God did? He just cut Peter off. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. You know how many times your kid be talking and you have to just cut them off because they don't know what they're talking about? You're not doing it because you hate them. You're doing it out of grace because you love them. Shut up before you stick your foot in your mouth. If you're in a good place, God's greatness shall be exalted. People will see the greatness of God, not in the greatness of you, not in the greatness of Hope Baptist Church, but the greatness of God. This thing is here because of Jesus Christ. And a whole bunch of people just, I'm going to let myself be in the background, and I'm going to do what Jesus Christ told me to do. That's why I'm here. I know the story about Hope. I know the history of Hope. I know who the first families was and all of that. But those first families was here by the mercy of God, by the grace of God. Because of God's greatness. And they'll never regret it. You could say they regret it. I'm watching it. How many? It's five generations. Is it five generations? Sister, I'm looking at you. It's five generations. Y'all got five generations here, right? Pastor John, ask your mother. Pastor Matt, Pastor Dave, ask your mother-in-law. How many generations is it? How many generations do you have, Miss King? Yes, how many generations in y'all family is here? Three? I don't know why I keep saying five. It's better. Yeah, it's better. That's right. In heaven, it's five, okay? Because we just going to say that. I don't know why I always think it's five generations. Yes. From your mom and from your mom. Yes. Okay. That's what I'm saying. All right. That's good. In my community, in the black community, they're 10 generations away from the clear presentation of the gospel. You want to get somebody saved, you get them saved, but they might not come. They're not ready to come to church. They might be able to accept Jesus Christ in their condition, but there's so much junk and foolishness packed into them. You got to keep getting that stuff out of them. You got five generations. Let's double that. If God don't come back, let's double that. The Bible says, in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. When God's greatness is exalted, the devil and his people can keep coming at you. It ain't going to work. It doesn't work. The Bible says, by thy greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone. That means, listen, the only thing I can explain it to is Hulk Hogan, because when I was little, Hulk Hogan had the biggest guns that ever. And Jesus Christ, like, when they say, when God shows his arm, everybody like, uh-oh. But it's a million times better than that. The Bible says the Lord is long-suffering and great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty. Pardon, I beseech thee, thine iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy. We're here because of his greatness. And it can be exalted. That's why. It's not because we're somebody special. They're right there. Jesus Christ says, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Mary said when they went to the marriage supper, that marriage, Jesus Christ was the main attraction. Jesus Christ was the main attraction. Jesus Christ is the main attraction. It's the first miracle. He says, whatever he says to do, that do thou. Whatever Jesus Christ said to do. Not the preacher, not who's married, not the wife, not the bride, not the groom. And, you know, we've been taught that the wedding is for the lady. No, I don't believe that anymore. A wedding is more for the dude than it is for the lady. It's more for guys than it is for the female. It just takes you about 10 years for you to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm telling on myself now. It just takes a long time for you to figure it out. The wedding is for these dudes. Every guy, when you think about it, I got married and that was beautiful. I was like, yeah, whatever y'all want to do, let's do it. All I was thinking about is I'm getting married at Hope Baptist. These are guys that let somebody train me and disciple me. I went to the Bible Institute there. I'm in a church where a whole bunch of white people, no black people, and they love this black dude from the hood. That's all I'm thinking about. And I'm about to get married. And God gave me a wife and all of that. I got some of my buddies that was in the streets with me. I got new friends. We gonna get married. We getting married. That's all I was thinking about. But the more I think about this thing, it's for dudes. It's for the man. We just think that it's for the ladies because they're more excited in the beginning. We're just trying to get through it. If you're in a good place, his greatness can be exalted and everything will point to the greatness of God. Listen, are you in a great place right now? Can you say, not with Brother Rudolph, can you say to God, listen, every message, every time you touched my heart, every time you pricked my heart, every time you told me to move, I moved. Everything you told me to do, I did it. Just like Brother Heaton said, it might not have completely fixed itself as soon as you got up from the altar, but you made the first move. You started it off. Hope Baptist couldn't be here 40 years unless somebody sacrifice and be obedient to God and drive up 75 in the wintertime through the snow and come and have church. It can't be here unless somebody was faithful. Not because of you guys, but because somebody had to be faithful. Pastor Saul had to be faithful and drive up here. Now, when Hope Baptist started, I was nowhere. I hadn't even been to prison yet. I hadn't even been in the streets yet. I was just reading my Bible in a super dysfunctional family. I'm 47 years old. Hope is 40. So I'm 7 years old, and all I got is a grandmama saying, King James Bible is the word of God. Somebody was faithful for this to be here. It wasn't about Pastor Saul getting exalted. It was because of Jesus Christ got exalted. Not only would, if you're in a good place, you could, the glory of God can be seen. Not only if you're in a good place, the greatness of God can be exalted. But if you're in a good place, his grace is known. Now, we often say, for by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's the gift. It's not a works, lest any man suppose. It's a gift. And because God says, wow, look at Anthony. He's beautiful. I gotta help him a little extra. No, he was like, hey, go help this fool. He about to jump off the cliff. He said the same thing about y'all. I don't care how stately you were and grand and you had everything, you did everything socially correct or politically correct, whatever one you like. He said, hey, somebody go get them. They're about to jump off the cliff.
Amen. That's right.
The Bible says Esther obtained grace and favor more than the other virgins. That's before a king. But we have grace before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's who we attain grace from outside of eternity. I mean, outside of time, out in eternity. You know how brother said time, seconds, minutes, all of that. This is time. And God's standing over it looking down like, that's interesting. They ain't prayed yet. You know how when you get on your Facebook and you tell everybody about pray. Listen, stop getting on Facebook telling people to pray for you.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of seeing people that ain't never prayed. I just seen them at the club. I just went to their house. They was doing all kinds of abominations talking about prayers going up. No, I don't want your prayers. Know who you praying to. Just stop. Don't tell people your business. Everybody don't have your best interest at heart. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter 8. the grace of God should be seen. First Peter chapter 1, verse 8. I said, First Peter chapter 8. That ain't in there. The Bible in 1 Peter chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible says, whom have ye not seen? I said it again, didn't I? It's your fault, Shelby. Thanks for the help, brother. The Bible says, whom have ye not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Listen, they've been trying to figure this thing out. But you ain't have to figure it out. Who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. They prophesied of this thing. They couldn't understand this thing. But guess what? You can see it. It's revealed in your life. You know it. The grace is known in your life. Listen, if you're in a good place right now, God's glory is there. God's greatness has been exalted. And his grace is known. That's Peter's account. Turn to chapter 4. Chapter 4 of 1 Peter. I got it right that time. This is Peter. Peter was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He knows all about God's grace. The Bible says in verse 10, as every man have received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You can't minister the grace of God if you don't know it. You know the grace of God. You might not even think you're in a good place, but you already know the grace of God. The grace of God is already known to you. If you're saved, it's already known to you. You're already in a good place. Chapter 5, verse 12. The Bible says, by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you. Listen, if the grace of God is in your life, you're going to have somebody faithful around you. Faithful around you. Every preacher in here needs somebody that's faithful around them. A faithful preacher, a faithful man in the church, some faithful people in the church. You need faithfulness. That's success. Faithfulness. So it ain't the numbers. Brother, I've been praying every year for 50 families. And God ain't gave it to me because I don't know what I need, but I'm praying for it everywhere. Every year I pray for 50 families. But the Bible says, by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that it is true, that it is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. You're standing in the grace of God. Not because you walked over into it, but because God picked you up and you couldn't get across here and he stepped, put you over there and you can look over here all you want to. I want to go back to the world. I want to go back to how it used to be. You can't get there. You're standing in the grace of God. Talk about Adam in the Garden of Eden. And the Bible says there was a whole bunch of different lands. And the Bible says that Bedellum is a place of gold and all that. You know what I believe? That Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden. And he's over here at the edge of his garden looking over there. Man, there's a lot of gold over there. It's shiny. Meanwhile, he leaning up, Jesus, the devil's leaning up against the tree. He should not surely die. You got to grow where you're planted. You got to work where God puts you at. And you could be someplace, you could say, oh, the glory of God is here, but you ain't got no business being there. The glory of God is a lot of places. But does that place have your name on it where God intended for you to be? You know, I watch it all the time. A lot of people, this is a beautiful church. This is a nice place to hide. I'm Anthony Rudolph. I can't be nobody else. God could be that called you to do something, or go someplace to do something. And you're just scared to go. The Bible says the fearful, the unbelieving, should have that part. You know, being fearful and unbelieving and a liar is just as bad as being a murderer, an adulterer, idolater, all that. Some folk ain't going where they're supposed to go or doing what they're supposed to do out of fear. It shouldn't be no such thing as peer pressure. Now, you know how the brother said, your mom said this, I call it a chop or a punch in the neck. If your friends jump off the bridge, you don't jump off with them. You want to jump? Go ahead. It's a free country. No such thing as peer pressure. No such thing as worry about what somebody going to think about you. I learned it the hard way. I went to jail. Worry about peer pressure. As a teen, peer pressure. So when I got out, we're going to do it my way or no way. Now, that's still wrong. You understand? Because the devil always tempts you to do it yourself. You don't need God. You say, make these stones into bread. You know what he told Jesus? Do it yourself. Don't wait on God. You better be waiting on God. But more importantly, are you in a good place? Come on. If you're in a good place, if you're in a good place, God's glory can be seen. His greatness can be exalted. And his grace is known. Are you in a good place?